بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد continue our readings in the treatise the work of الحافظ عبد الغني ابن عبد الواحد المقدسي رحمه الله تعالى عمدت الأحكام عمدت الأحكام. We continue reading in the book of الطهارة كتابه الطهارة the book of purification. In our previous class we have discussed some of the issues with regards to the first hadith, the author that he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى hadith of Umar with regards to the niyyah إنما الأعمال بالنيات, that verily the deeds are by way of their intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, and that every individual will have what he has intended. So the one who has a good intention and he strives to perform the action according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then he has what he has intended, a good reward with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And likewise, the one who has a foul intention, even if the outward appearance is good, then likewise what is considered is his intention. Naam. In our previous class, there were questions about changing the intention from one prayer to the next. Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned some beneficial points, principles with regards to changing the intention. He mentioned particularly with regards to salat. We didn't get to the book of salat yet, but the questions were about salat and the intention. Naam. So first, to understand the issue, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he clarified that we have to remember two things about the salat, or about the worship in general. And we studied this before in our studies of As-Siyam, that there is worship that's considered mu'ayyin, and active worship that's considered mutlaq. Naam, one whenever he performs an act of worship that is mu'ayyin, salat mu'ayyinah, naam, or a salat mutlaqah. He has an intention to perform a specific or a particular prayer, a particular prayer, or just to pray in general. So there's two aspects here. A person, he can pray a prayer, and that prayer could be mu'ayyana. And the mu'ayyana could be obligatory or non-obligatory, as long as it's specified. It's a prayer that is identified. Everybody understand that point? A prayer that is identified, for example, Salat Fajr. Also, the two rak'ah sunnah before Fajr, this is mu'ayyana. Also, not just the obligatory, dhuhr, of course, this is a salat mu'ayyana, specific, specified. Likewise, at duha, it's not obligatory, but it's mu'ayyana, it's specific and it's specified. It requires a specific intention. So these are the salawat that are considered mu'ayyana, the ones that are specific. Naam, and they have a specific intention likewise. And then there is a salat that's considered mutlaqa, that he has no intention for it particularly, not restricted with a particular reason or a text, just he wants to stand and pray for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal in this manner, without intending tahiyat al-masjid, without intending salat al-fard, without intending any other specific act of worship, just a prayer, two rak'ah, or however he had intended, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. This one is called mutlaqa. Naam? So the issue is now that their prayer, the one changing his intention in the prayer, he's either going to change it from al-mu'ayyin ila al-mu'ayyin. Salat al-mu'ayyina ila al-mu'ayyina. He's going to change his intention. And we're talking about during salat. From mu'ayyina to al-mu'ayyina. We understand that? Or he's going to change his intention from al-mutlaqa to the mu'ayyina. This is the cases. This is how it's either going to happen in three ways. The person who changes his intention in salat, he's either changing his intention from a salat al-mu'ayyina to another salat al-mu'ayyina. Or he's going to change his intention from a salat mutlaqah to salat mu'ayyana. Or he's going to change his salat from a mu'ayyana to a mutlaqah. From a mu'ayyana to a mutlaqah. So he's either going to change his intention from one particular prayer to another in the middle of salat. Or he's going to change his intention from not having a particular salat identified, just a general prayer that he's praying, and then change it from that intention to a specific prayer. Or he's going to change it from a prayer that he has specified, naam, with his intention, to a non-specified prayer. This is the cases that it could occur. For example, the one who goes from mu'ayyana to mu'ayyana, like the question of the brother yesterday. From Dhuhr, he had the intention to pray Asr. In the middle of the prayer, he wants to pray Dhuhr. He wants to change it to Dhuhr. Now, this one right here is not accepted. Right here at this time, the prayer of Dhuhr is invalidated because he left the intention of Dhuhr. Asr. If he had the intention of Asr, he intended Asr. Now, he wants to change it to Dhuhr. So then the Asr, their prayer, batalat, bitaghir al-niyyah, because he cut the intention of Salat al-Asr. And then Salat al-Dhuhr, lam tanaqid. It didn't start because he didn't make the intention from the beginning. So then he will have to pray both prayers again. Neither prayer is correct. He's changing his intention from a specific prayer to another specific prayer. In the middle of Salat, he intended to pray Asr, and then he remembered he didn't pray Dhuhr. In the middle of prayer, he changed his intention. Sheikh Uthaymeen, he mentioned this is not permissible. Because whenever he changed his intention from Asr, now that prayer is cut. He stopped the intention of that prayer. And then as for his intention for the Dhuhr prayer, it's not correct because the obligatory prayer or even the prayer that is mu'ayyana, it has to be identified from the beginning. So then this is not permissible. So any prayer that it has a specific reason for it or intention, the person, he made a specific intention for a particular prayer, he can't change it to another particular prayer. He can't go from the sunnah of Dhuhr to Dhuhr. And like these are two prayers that are identified. They have to have a specific prayer, has to have the intention from the beginning. And if he left his intention in the middle of it to another intention, then that salat that he began with the intention in the beginning with has been invalidated. Likewise, he mentioned another example for a person. For example, he's praying duha. Then he remembered he didn't pray sunnah al-fajr. He's praying duha, two rak'ah. Then he remembered he didn't pray sunnah al-fajr. He wants to change his intention to make up the sunnah al-fajr. What is the ruling of his prayer? It's not accepted. What happened to his prayer? It was invalidated. Why? Okay, so he left the intention of the prayer he intended in the beginning. So that prayer is cut. It's invalidated. What about the one he changed his intention to? Did it start? No. Why not? Because he didn't intend it from the beginning. So he didn't pray anything. He didn't pray anything. He left both prayers. He doesn't have either prayer. Now, then the next situation, so that's the mu'ayyan from mu'ayyan. Well, he's not saying, Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned this in Majmur Fitawa of Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he didn't mention from Fard to Nafl like this. He mentioned from mu'ayyan to mu'ayyan. This is more specific, mu'ayyan to mu'ayyan, identified prayer. Whether it's obligatory or not obligatory. A prayer that is identified has a specific reason, it requires a specific intention, like duha, that's a specific prayer. Fajr, a specific prayer. One of them is obligatory, the other is not obligatory, but they're both mu'ayyana. They're both specific. Fahimtum hadha? Naam. Then Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned the second case that it would be from changing the intention during salat from al-mutlaqa to al-mu'ayyana. He didn't have any intention, any specific intention to prayer. He just stood to pray two rak'ah for the sake of Allah, for example. Not for duha, not for this reason or that reason, just for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. His niyyah is mutlaqa. It's not restricted to any specific prayer, which is permissible. It's permissible for a believer to stand and pray for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, two rak'ah. And as long as it's not in a prohibited time, then this is permissible without having any specific intention, any for a specific or particular prayer. So if he began with this intention, niyyah al-mutlaqa, salat al-mutlaqa, and then he wants to change it to the mu'ayyana, what's the ruling? If he can't go from the mu'ayyana to mu'ayyana, then the mutlaqa to mu'ayyana, of course he can't do that likewise. He made the example, rahimahullah ta'ala, the one who entered into the salat mutlaqa, for example, and then he, in the middle of that salat, he wants to change it to the sunnah of dhuhr, for example. He can't do that. Naam, he can't do that. Both prayers would not be correct. The first one would be invalidated because he left the intention. The second one would never even have started. It would never even have started because he didn't intend the mu'ayyana from the beginning. The mu'ayyana has to be an act of worship that is specific for a specific reason or intention. It has to be intended from the beginning of the act of worship. similar to what we have seen, the same rulings in the book of fasting. In the book of fasting, the different types of fasting that are mutlaqa and the mu'ayyana. They have to have the intention from the beginning. The one that's mu'ayyana has to have the intention from the beginning. طيب, the third situation, what would it be? We did al-mu'ayyana to mu'ayyana, and then mutlaqa to mu'ayyana. The third case that it could possibly be? Al-mu'ayyana to the mutlaqa. A specific prayer. He intended a specific prayer in the beginning, and then in the middle of that prayer, he decided to make it a non-specific prayer. What's the ruling for that one? It's allowed. Ahsant. It's permissible. Why? Because he has a specific intention to pray. So the specific intention, it entails a specific prayer and the general prayer. He has intended to pray, rather a specific prayer. So the general prayer is in it, he has intended that. He has already intended that. His specific intention encompasses the general prayer. Everyone understand that? The specific, he intended to pray 2 rakat al-fajr, for example. This intention includes the prayer and the specific prayer. Naam, so to leave that 2 rakat, to go to 2 rakat that are not obligatory, for example. Or to 2 rakat that are not specific, that are mutlaqa. It's permissible, because he already intended to pray. And that's what's required to pray a prayer, mutlaqa. Naam? So for example, if somebody's praying 2 rakat of sunnah al-fajr, or for example, sunnah al-maghrib, 2 rakat, and he intended, for example, to pray maghrib, sunnat maghrib, al-ratiba. And then in the middle of the prayer, he realized he already prayed. He already prayed the ratiba. He already prayed. He prayed the sunnah, then he forgot and stood up again and started to pray again. In the middle of praying the second time, he remembered, I already prayed sunnah. So then he can make his intention now to make it a 2 rakat, nafila, yani mutlaqa. Like this. This is permissible. Everybody understand that? Likewise, Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, another beneficial example of the situation from al-mu'ayyana to al-mutlaqa. And that is, for example, a man, he comes into the masjid, especially for those who are traveling, maybe not so much in this land, but in the Muslim lands, whenever you're traveling, there's masajid, particularly in al-mamlaka, there's masajid on the highways. So a person, he'll stop on the road and pray. And so the issue is, if a person, he comes in the masjid to pray a fariḍah, an obligatory prayer. Nobody's there. He stands by himself, yarhamukallah. He stands by himself to pray an obligatory prayer. And then before he's finished, and maybe he's in the first rakah, for example, and then a group of people come in to establish the obligatory prayer. A group of people come in to establish the obligatory prayer. He can make his intention while he's in the mu'ayyana, change it to mutlaqa, and suffice with 2 rakah. So he can hasten and pray with the jama'ah. So he can go and meet the jama'ah. Understand that? He intended an obligatory prayer, which is mutlaqa or mu'ayyana. Obligatory prayer, any one of the obligatory prayers. It's mutlaqa or mu'ayyana? It's mu'ayyana. It's mu'ayyana. So the issue here, he's changing his intention from mu'ayyana to mutlaqa. But the reason, because he's praying by himself, for example, he wanted to pray dhuhr. He prayed 1 rakah, and then a jama'ah came, and they start making iqamah. Then they start to establish the jama'ah. And he's in the masjid praying by himself. And there's a whole jama'ah. Several men come in to pray. He's praying dhuhr over here by himself, and they come in to pray dhuhr. So at this time, it's permissible for him to change his intention to a general salat. He had intended to pray four rakah, obligatory prayer, dhuhr. He's in the first rakah, the jama'ah comes. He changes his intention to 2 rakah, nafila, mutlaqa, so that he can catch the jama'ah and pray with the brothers in congregation. Naam, this one is permissible. So to summarize again, the Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the one who changes his intention during the prayer, there's three categories, or three instances, yani three circumstances that he will be in, not four. He's either going to change it from a specific to a specific, which is not permissible, or a non-specific to specific, which is not permissible, or a specific to non-specific. That's permissible. This is the summarization of the question the brother he asked yesterday. We continue with the work of Al-Imam Abdul Ghani rahimahullah ta'ala, Kitab al-Tahara. One thing I forgot to mention in the previous class about Tahara, very important to understand that Tahara likewise is two types. I mentioned briefly. Tahara likewise is two times. Whenever a person he thinks about the book of Tahara, or even the word of Tahara, the word Tahara itself, automatically in the mind, wudu, ghusl, these affairs like this, cleanliness, purity. But in reality, the word Tahara has two meanings. Al-ma'na, al-hissi, which is here in the book of Tahara, purification, purifying the body, and purifying the garments, and purifying the place where one is praying or lives or is at, or also removing the hadith. This is called the tahara, and this is the tahara hissiyah that we're discussing here, yani in this chapter, the purification of the body and the likes like this. And as for the other tahara al ma'nawiyah, this is a tahara min al shirk. Naam, taharat al qalb is the purification of the heart. Purification taharat al qalbi min al shirki wal kufri wal bid'ah. والمعاصي وحب الدنيا and these affairs like this and foul manners, purifying the heart from shirk and from disbelief, from hypocrisy likewise, and from innovations, purifying the deeds also from innovations, and purifying the manners from the lowly and despicable conduct and characteristics. All of this is also considered tahara. This is the spiritual tahara, and it is more important. And it is most important. Yani this is studied in the books of Al-Aqidah, in the books of Iman. Naam, but what we're studying in this particular work here, this is Tahara Al-Hissiyah, yani the second type of Tahara. Naam, the purification of the body and the clothing and so on and so forth. Although Tahara, also min al-hadith, Tahara to Ma'nawiyah, yani also, but this is the case here, the difference between the two. Purifying the heart and purifying the body and the place around, and so on and so forth. So the author, he says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The narration is the narration of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه. He said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. That the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, that Allah will not accept the prayer of any one of you if he makes a hadith. If he makes a hadith, إذا أحدث, إذا صدر منه حدث, if he performed a hadith. What is the hadith? Huh? إخراج الريح. That's an example of a hadith. نعم. Something that comes from the private parts, to the front or the back, whether it's gas or urine, passing urine, or feces. These are examples of that. These are examples of that. Now, we shouldn't misunderstand. The hadith is not actually the urine. Passing urine is the hadith. The act of doing that, this causes the hadith. This is the hadith, and this is what will put that person in a state where he'll be considered muhdath. Now, not the actual urine. The actual urine is called najis. Khabith. That's the other part of tahara. رَفُ الْحَدَثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ وَزَوَالُ الْخَبِثِ وَزَوَالُ الْخَبِثِ. الْخَبِثِ, the feces, the urine. These are examples of khabith. Now, whatever the feces comes out, this is a hadith. Not the feces itself. That the feces itself is al-khabith. It's khabith, najasa. Naam, but relieving oneself of that, this is the hadith. Naam. So the word hadith, yani the definition of the fuqaha, they mentioned that it is wasfun qa'imun bil badani yamna'u min as-salati wa nahwiha mimma yushtaratu lahu at-tahara. Naam, it is the description that occurs in the body that will prohibit somebody from praying. And other than that, from that which has the obligation or the requirement or the condition of at-tahara, of at-tahara. Now, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم. That Allah, he will not accept the prayer of one of you. Now, he will not accept the prayer of one of you, إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. If he makes a hadith, until he makes wudu. This is coming in the form of a negation. But the meaning is prohibition. The meaning is a prohibition, and this is more stern in the prohibition. And because this meaning, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم, there's a negation of acceptance. It's not accepted. Meaning it's not correct. The meaning here of not being accepted, meaning it's not correct. The one who prayed without wudu, his prayer is not accepted and it's not correct. Sometimes the word not accepted is referring to the reward. And other times it's referring to the actual prayer being correct. And that's what is intended here. The ulama have mentioned that the meaning la yaqbal, here adam al-qabul, adam al-sihah, what ijza', that the one who prayed without wudu, then his prayer is not accepted. And it's not correct. He would have to make wudu and pray again. There are other narrations that have come. Whenever it's mentioned that the prayer would not be accepted, and what is referring to that is the reward. Like whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man ata arafan, fasa'alahu shay'an, lam tuqbalu lahu salatun 40 layla." That the one who came to a soothsayer or a fortune teller and he asked him about something, then his prayer will not be accepted. La tuqbalu lahu salatun. His prayer will not be accepted for 40 nights. Here the ulama, they mentioned that his prayer is correct and he does not have to repray. But the reward, the meaning here is the reward is not accepted. The reward is not accepted. And this is because the ulama, they have mentioned about that, it's not known that anyone has mentioned that that person has to make up his prayer. The one who went to the Araf, they didn't. There's no evidence that he would make up his prayer. So his prayer is correct. But as for the reward, it's not there. He does not have any reward, but he still has to pray. And if he prays his prayer, the obligation will be removed. As for the one here who prayed without wudu, then his obligation remains upon him. Huh? His obligation remains upon him. He did not pray. So this is the meaning here. Naam. The meaning of here, la yaqbalu Allah salat ahadikum, or la tuqbalu salatu ahadikum, like in the narration of Muslim, then it's not correct. The salat is not correct. It's not even begun. He has to start over. This ruling, barakallahu fikum, includes the one who does it out of forgetfulness. If he did it out of forgetfulness, or if he did it because he did not know he had to have wudu, out of ignorance, or he thought it's okay to pray without wudu, out of ignorance, whether he did it out of forgetfulness, or he did it out of ignorance, or even if he did it on purpose, then the ruling is the same. His prayer is not accepted. Somebody say, well, I forgot. Go make wudu and pray again. He said, I forgot, I didn't make wudu, and I prayed dhuhr. What is the ruling for this person? Go make wudu and pray again. What's the proof? لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. The prayer, the hadith of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه, that Allah does not accept the prayer of one of you if you invalidate the wudu until he makes the wudu. Naam, so then he has to pray again. طيب, if he said he is a Muslim, he said he prayed, for example, Fajr, and he didn't make wudu, but he's ignorant and he had no clue. So, and then we find out, what do we tell him? You have to go make it again. You have to go make wudu and pray again. Go make wudu and pray again. He doesn't have the prayer. The prayer is not there. Naam, there's no prayer without at-tahara. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, at-tahara miftah as-salat. Miftahu as-salat, the key. And the way to salat is tahara. Nobody can get to salat without tahara. Al-wasila. To prayer, the only way that a person can get to prayer is by tahara. By tahara. Without tahara, he can't pray. There's no prayer. Naam. So as for the difference between the one who did it out of forgetfulness, or out of ignorance, then there's no sin upon him. As for the one who did it on purpose, he prayed without wudu, on purpose, or his wudu was invalidated during the prayer, and he knew that, and he kept praying on purpose. This one, how is his prayer? His prayer likewise is like the other two. It's not accepted. But there's an addition. The ruling is different for him. Huh? He's sinful. يَأْثَمُ بِذَلِكَ. But rather some of the ulama, they mentioned that he disbelieved. Which it's not the correct opinion. But just to show you the seriousness of the issue, some of the ulama mentioned that the one who prayed on purpose without wudu disbelieved with this. And they mentioned because يَتَلَعَبْ بِالدِّينِ وَيَسْتَهْزِي بالشريعة, that he is playing with and joking, mocking the religion and the deen like this. He knows he has to wudu, it's an obligation. And the prayer is not, Allah doesn't accept the prayer except if he has wudu, and he prayed anyways. like this, and he knows that the prayer is rejected and not accepted, then they mentioned that, you know, that this is a sign that he is joking and playing around with the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, ya'adhan billah. Although that's not the correct opinion, but he would be a sinner though. So a believer, this is an amana. This is from the amanat, from the amana that Allah has entrusted to the believers, that they will comply to His commandments and they will fulfill them in the manner that is legislated. From that is the amana of al-wudu and tahara, that he would be upon tahara whenever it's required for him. Whenever it's required for him. I think it's best if we save the questions for the end, so we don't get turned off track. If it's okay with the brothers, barakallahu fikum. If there's a question that comes up, put it down on the paper, that way you don't forget, and then inshallah we'll come to the end. If not, we're going to maybe sometimes get sidetracked. Although the questions are very beneficial for all of us. Naam. So this is the case here. The one who prayed without wudu, he is still required to pray. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا أَحْدَثَ. The hadith is something that we've seen before. Another understanding to make it easier for a person. What is the meaning of the hadith? Is the hadith is something that makes it obligatory to make wudu or to make ghusl. To summarize like this. And وَصْفٌ قَائِمٌ. This is for the tulab al-ilm, but the definition of the fuqaha. But just to have a general understanding, what is the meaning of al-hadith? Is hadith is an occurrence that happens in the body that causes a person or necessitates him to make wudu or ghusl if he wants to pray or perform an action that requires tahara. This is called, they call it a hadith. Now this is the word here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used إِذَا أَحْدَثَ إِذَا صَدَرَ مِنْهُ حَدِثٌ. Yani, so the examples of that, as the brother mentioned, passing gas and making number one, number two, and all of the other, and validators of wudu, they will be included here. That Allah will not accept the prayer if somebody had invalidated his wudu by any means. That's a legislated means of invalidation until he makes wudu. Until he makes wudu. Naam, until he makes wudu. From the benefits of this hadith, naam, from the benefits of this hadith, we see that tahara is a condition for salat. Tahara is a condition for the salat. And that the salat, no matter what type of salat it is, mu'ayyana or ghayr mu'ayyana, any mutlaqa, whether it's fariḍa, fard, or whether it's nafila, naam, or whether it's sunnah, even if it's salat janaza, no prayer is accepted without tahara. No prayer is accepted without tahara. Naam, so this is the first case. This tahara is a condition for salat. Now, there are many other conditions, but the ulama, this is one of the most important, wa'akad shurutu salat, the most emphasized conditions of the prayer. And this hadith is from the evidences of that. This hadith here is from the evidences and the proofs for that condition. Likewise, salat without wudu is haram, it's not permissible. Whether it's a major sin. Salat without wudu and intentionally. Naam is not permissible. It's not permissible. And likewise, the one who made a prayer without wudu, what's the ruling for him? There's no prayer. These are the summarized benefits from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Also, from the benefits from this narration is that it's not obligatory to make wudu for every salat. It's not obligatory to make wudu for every salat. Who can clarify that from the hadith, from the narration? Naam. You're good to go. That's the meaning, sah. But we want to any wajhul istidlal. Naam. The proof. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "La yakbaru Allah salata ahadikum idha ahdatha." Idha ahdatha. If he made hadith, it's a shart there. If he made hadith, hatta yatawada, until he makes wudu. طيب, if he didn't make a hadith, then what about the salat? The understanding is it would be accepted. So then the ulama, they mention, rahimahumullah ta'ala, that it's not obligatory to make wudu for every salat, and this is the evidence for that issue. This is the evidence for that issue. Ad-deen, masail wa dala'il. Masail wa dala'il. Mas'ala wa adillatuha. Naam, this is the issue of the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's evidences or it's issues or affairs in the deen with their evidences. So the evidence for that, a person does not have to make wudu for every salat, is the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The evidence that a person who prayed without wudu, no matter how or why, his salat is not accepted. The evidence for that is the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. This hadith here. Naam. Everybody clear with that? طيب الحديث الثاني أو الثالث نعم the author he says وعن عبد الله ابن عمر ابن العاص وأبي هريرة وعائشة رضي الله عنهم قالوا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويل للأعقاب من النار. The author he mentioned three narrations, all of them from different companions. The ulama, they mention if the narration has a different companion, it's considered a different hadith. If the companion is different, it's a different hadith. Even if the text is one, but the companion is different, it's considered a specific hadith. Hadith Abi Hurairah. Naam, hadith Abi Hurairah. Wa hadith Abdullah bin Amr. Wa hadith Aisha radiallahu anha. Radiallahu anhum. They all narrated this similar narration. Waylu lil aqabi min an-nar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, wail. Wail is a statement that is means a supplication. It's a supplication. Wailu lil aqabi min an-nar. It's a kalima ta'deed. Tahdeed wa wa'id, a threat. Tahdeed, it's a threat here like this. And it means al-halak, dimar, destruction. Nam wa adab, the meaning of that. May that person be punished. Wailu lahu, may he be punished, may he be destroyed. It's a supplication against the person. It's a supplication against the person. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, waylul lil aqabi min an-nar. Al-aqab is the plural of aqab. The aqab is what? The heel. Naam, may the heels be destroyed or punished in the hellfire. The meaning of the hadith. May the heels be punished in the hellfire. This particular hadith is clarifying the obligation of having care and concern in the performance of the wudu. That a person, he will not be negligent with regards to purification. At-tahara fi dinillahi azza wa jal muhimma jiddan. Naam walaha khatarun kabir. It's very dangerous likewise. It's something that's serious. Purification. We've seen that one who prayed without purification, some of the ulama, they made takfir of him. So the issue is very serious. Purity. And the religion of Allah azza wa jal. There are rulings that are related to this. Rulings in the deen of Allah azza wa jal. Halal and haram. Naam, this is an obligation to make wudu. And to do it properly. So this hadith right here clarifies that the wudu, it must be performed properly. And according to the legislation. According to its minimum requirement at least. And the one who fails to perform it properly, he has or will fall under this supplication from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيْلُوا لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Now may the heels be punished in the fire. May the heels be punished in the fire. There's a story for this narration. And it's narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma. And the story of this narration is he mentioned radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Amr. He said, تخلف عنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفرة من سفرناه. They were on a travel with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فأدركنا الصلاة. Naam, so it was time to perform salat. وَنَحْنُ نَتَوَضَّأُ فَأَدْرَكْنَا الصَّلَاةِ. Naam, and one narration, فَأَرْحَقَتْنَا الصَّلَاةِ, that the salat caught up, the time is very short. They're traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the time for the prayer is very short. And the prayer is about to go out. The time for the prayer is about to go out. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's behind them in this travel. And the companions, they were ahead. And the group of Abdullah bin Amr, radiallahu anhuma. And the time is about to go out. So they're hastening to make salat. They're hastening to make wudu. And he said, فَجَعَلْنَا نَمْسَحُ عَلَى أَرْجُلِنَا. So they started they're making wudu and they just wiped on their feet. Naam? They're making wudu and they're in a hurry. They're in a hurry, why? Because they're trying to catch the time of salat. So they're afraid the salah is going to go out. So they're hastening because of this reason. And then this caused them to just wipe on their feet, briefly or lightly like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned here that he said, فَنَادَى بِعَلَى سَوْتِهِ فَنَادَى بِعَلَى سَوْتِهِ, that he called in his highest voice, وَيْلُوا لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. He didn't just say, and he tell them like this, but rather he called in his loudest voice, in his highest voice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this narration here. وَيْلُوا لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Raising his voice at them. Naam, and giving them this threat. So we see that this person who is coming, to the water, and he is intended to make ablution. He is intended to make tahara so that he can pray for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But because he was deficient in that, and he did not, and he was deficient in a manner that was negligent, and his deficiency is because of negligence. He didn't take the proper time that is required, and he was negligent with regards to that. Then this person, the Prophet ﷺ made du'a against him. And if the heels are in the fire, then where is the body? Naam. So the anyway, li aqabi ashabiha, naam li ashabiha, and the people. So this is an indication that this is a major sin to perform the wudu without giving concern to it until the extent that a person will perform it negligently. Naam, then this is a major sin. This is a major sin. Because based upon that, their salat is not going to be accepted. If the wudu is not performed properly, then the salat will not be accepted. The ulama, they mentioned that the proper way to perform the wudu, it has 6 conditions. Some ulama, they mentioned 5 or even 4. But what is correct and Allah knows best is there are 6 pillars of furud al-wudu. Some call it furud al-wudu, some call it arkan al-wudu. And that is to wash the face, and along with that, the nose and the mouth. And that means that the water has to go all the way to the whole face, from here, from the top of the manbat al-sha'r to the dhiqn, to here, tulin. And from here, Ardan, from the udhan to the udhan. All that has to become wet. Water has to go all to there. Water has to go all to this part, and he has to also make istinshaq, madwada, put the water in his mouth and take it out, and also in the nose. This is all considered part of the face. And then he has to wash his hands from his fingertips until his elbows, including his elbow. Naam, and then he has to wipe his head one time, the whole head, from the front to the back, along with the ears. And then he has to wash his feet from the toes to the ankles, including the ankles. If he washes this one time, this is what is obligatory, to make sure the water goes to the whole body part, one time. If he was negligent, for example, in the feet, and here the case was the feet, they were in a hurry. But this is an indication, and that's the case, and many times somebody may be negligent with the feet. It's the last part, it's the lowest part. But if he was negligent, for example, with the elbow, it's the same ruling. This is an indication here that a person, he has to perform the wudu properly. And the ulama, they call it isbagh al-wudu. Isbagh al-wudu. That's obligatory, is to make sure the water reaches all of the body parts of wudu. And that he wiped the body part that has to be wiped entirely. That he wiped the body part, the body parts that have to be washed, the water has to reach that body part entirely. Not just part of it or most of it, rather all of it. All of it. And then also the part that has to be wiped, it has to be wiped, all of it. In this manner, he has performed what is obligatory upon him. And he's not blameworthy. If he did it 3 times, then this is the sunnah. Or even sometimes to do it 2 times, some parts 2 times like this, like the Prophet ﷺ, sometimes he did the arms 2 times. So the minimum is 1 time, and the most is 3 times. Naam, the most is 3 times. Naam, but the minimum is 1 time. The one who failed to perform that 1 time in his ablution, then he will fall under this ruling, or under this warning and under this threat. وَيْلُ لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he threatened those heels, yani that were left off from the wudu. So this is an indication that the one who is negligent in performing the tahara, then his prayer is not accepted. Now we benefit from this narration. وَيْلُ لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. A great benefit. The one who is negligent and heedless in performing the tahara until he did not perform it properly because of negligence. Naam? Then his prayer is not accepted. And there's a narration that has come in Sunan Abi Dawood. Naam, that some of the companions, they have seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he seen a man, ra'a rajulan sallallahu alaihi wasallam yusalli wa fi dhahri qadamihi lum'atun qadru ad-dirham lam yusibhu al-ma'. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, they mentioned that they saw the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw a man who was praying. And in his foot, there is a portion on his foot the size of a dirham, yani some type of a coin. Naam, that water did not reach. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeing a man praying, and on his foot there is a portion that the Prophet was aware of, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the water of tahara did not reach him on that part, on his foot, small portion. Naam. So then they said, radiyallahu anhum, فَأَمَرَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يُعِيدَ الْوُضُوءَ وَالصَّلَاةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded him to redo the salah. To redo the salah. Naam? To redo salat. So here, this is also a proof for one of those furud. I mentioned the furud, what were they? The four? The pillars of the wudu? The face? The hands to the elbows? The wiping the head? And the feet to the ankles? That's four. Naam? And then the fifth one? At-tartib. Has to be in that order. You can't do the feet first and the head last. You can't do the head first and the arms. It has to be in this order. It's a fard, min furud al-wudu. Naam, and then what this hadith here indicates, the sixth one, that many of the ulama, particularly them, Imam Ahmad, have mentioned, the obligation of al-muwalat. Al-muwalat, that the body parts have to be washed consecutively. That a person, he can, for example, wash his face and rinse his mouth and nose, and then wait 15, 20 minutes, talk to somebody, or 15, 5, 10 minutes like this, talk to somebody, and then come back and start with his hands and his arms. Or he washes his face and then his arms, and then he gets a call, and then he talks 5, 10 minutes, and then he wipes his head and finishes his feet. La. There's a condition of muwalat, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't command this man. This man, he had just a little portion like that. He didn't tell, go back and wipe that part. Go back and wipe that little part on your foot, and then pray. La, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded him and yu'ida al-wudu'a was-salat. Commanded him to repeat the wudu and the salat. So if it was permissible just to separate between the body parts like this, so have time between them, he would have commanded him sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go back and wipe that part that was missed, or wash that part that was missed. But he didn't do that. He commanded him to repeat it. So many of the ulama, they have understood from this that from the condition of from the arkan or the rukn, the arkan of al wudu is al muwalat, that he does it, consecutively. Naam. So from the benefits of this narration is the obligation to have great concern with the wudu, that a believer, he will maintain and preserve and protect his wudu. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمنون. إلا المؤمنون. That no one preserves and maintains and does his wudu property except for a believer. Also from the benefits of this narration, that it's an obligation to encompass all the body parts of wudu with water. That the water has to go to all the body part. Naam, all of the body part. What is an obligation for the wudu to be correct? The water has to go to the whole body part. To the whole body part. Those four body parts that we mentioned. Except for the head, it can only be wiped. The head can only be wiped. Naam, and the mention of the ankles or the heels is just because this is a place that it occurred in that event. And likewise, it's a place that happens a lot. But if somebody also fell short in the elbow, or in the arm, or in the face, or anywhere he was negligent with regards to bringing the water of wudu to that body part, likewise, there's the similar ruling. The point from the narration is the obligation of al-istiyab. Naam, wa ta'meem al-wudu. Al-wadu, to make the water go to the whole body part. Also from the benefits of this narration, the ulama, they mention, it's an obligation to wash the feet. Wiping the feet is not permissible. Wiping the feet, anyone ever doesn't have a sock on it. The chapter of wiping on the socks will come, or the khuf, inshallah, will come. But with regards to whenever the foot is not covered, there's nothing on the foot, whenever it's bare, the obligation is to wash it, not to wipe it. Some of the people of innovation, they have the opinion that, or the position, that you can wipe it. Naam, and that's not correct. And this is evident, this hadith here, this is what they were doing. Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu anhumah, he mentioned, and kunna namsahu ala arjulina, and we were wiping on our feet. This is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this narration. Wailu lil aqabi min an-nar. Whenever they're wiping on the feet. Wiping is not sufficient. The obligation for the feet is to wash them. What is wiped in the wudu? In the obligatory wudu? Huh? The head. Naam, the head. Ahsantum, naam. Naam. So the one also from the benefits of this narration, the one who is negligent with regards to performing wudu, rahimahullah, then this is a major sin. This is a major sin. A person, a believer, would be aware of this. Also, from the very important affairs to remember, in general, with tahara, that this is ibadah. Tahara, ibadah. Tahara, yuhibbuha Allah ta'ala. Allah, He loves that tahara, and those who perform tahara. So this is an act of worship. The one who performs an act of worship, many of the ulama, they call it ibadat, qurbat. They call it an action that's called ibadah, they call it qurba. Why? What does qurba mean? It's an action, عَمَلٌ يُقَرِّبُكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. It's a deed that brings you near to Allah. So one of the terminologies that the ulama they use for worship is qurba, wa qurbat, the plural. And an action that would draw someone near to Allah Azza wa Jal. So if a person, he performed the wudu properly, he should feel like he's closer to Allah. And this is with all of the acts of worship. If he performed the wudu properly and he was not in a state of ghafla, then he would feel that he is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he has the aid and assistance in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also from the benefits of this narration, the ulama they mentioned. Which narration? In the back. Which narration? Huh? And what's the wording? In English? Arabic? Huh? It's about what subject? Huh? The ankle, the heels. From the benefits, from the benefits of this narration, they mentioned the clarification of the greatness of prayer, salat. That this is a salat is a great issue. That a person is not allowed even to come near the prayer except in a state of purity, and in his body, and also in the place in his clothing. And the one who attempt to come in the prayer without that state of purity, then he has this threat. He has this threat. And even also with the removal of the hadith. And this is all to clarify the greatness of the prayer. The prayer is a great affair. Naam is an ishatnuha azim, as salat. Naam, the prayer is a great issue. This is clarified in these narrations here, the obligation of wudu and tahara. Also, from the benefit of these narrations, that a believer should be aware of also the obligation of teaching the ignorant people, the people who don't know. They're ignorant of a ruling, then they're not left that way. They're not left that way. We don't leave our brothers in ignorance, and we know that we can help them. Naam, whether if we see our brother in need of knowledge and he's ignorant of an affair in the deen, then whether it's from the usul or from other than that, then we will help them. Will direct them in the best way. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, from the benefits of this narration, commanding the good and prohibiting the evil. That a person, he will not see a munkar. If he sees a munkar, he will change it. Or if he has the ability to remind somebody and to inform them like this. If a person who knows that this is an obligation and he sees someone falling short or performing it with negligence, he will advise him and he will remind him. And this is a great benefit for a believer to know that the deen is established upon commanding the good and prohibiting the evil and advising one another sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, the ulama, they derive the great principle, al-fiqhiyya, from this narration. Al-qa'idah, al-fiqhiyya. Min al-qa'id al-fiqhiyya. Waylu lil-aqabi min al-nar. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. Now that the recompense is from the type of the action. So whenever this person was negligent with regards to the wudu, any particularly in the heels, then the heels were threatened with the punishment. Whenever the negligence occurred in this particular part of the body, then this what is the part of the body that was threatened. Although if the heels are in the fire or punished, the rest of the body likewise will feel that. But this is just from those principles or from the proofs or evidences from one of those principles, those great principles the ulama have established in the deen, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the recompense of an action is according to the type of deed, any good or bad. Good or bad. Naam. Good or bad. Shaykh al-Sa'di, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, إِذَا كَانَ التَّفْرِيتُ مَذْمُومًا فَكَذَلِكَ الْإِفْرَاطُ وَالْوَسَاوِسُ مَذْمُومًا. If to be negligent with regards to the wudu is not praiseworthy, is blameworthy, then likewise going to extremes with the wudu likewise is blameworthy. And from one aspect, being negligent here in the hadith is blameworthy. Imam al-Sidi, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, if that's the case, also on the other extreme, is blameworthy. And having the wasawis and the whispers, did I intend, did I not intend? Some person, he'll make wudu, and then he'll stop, and he will stop, did I do my feet? Did I wipe my head? Am I sure I got my elbow? And he'll go back again, and he'll tell him, he'll come out of the wudu station, he's all wet. is all it. Yani because he go back and 1, 2, 3, 4 times like this, shaitan is playing with him. Shaitan yal'abu bihi. This is from the wasawas of shaitan. A believer has to be aware of this. Nam, and he seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jalla from min wasawas of shaitan. Nam yuwaswisu fi sudur an-nas, that he whispers in the hearts of men. From that aspect is with the wudu and with the salat. He tries to make haraj and hardship and make the prayer heavy on the person and performing the act of worship. If he can't stop him from doing it, he'll try to make it heavy on him and try to make it difficult for him and try to make him to have a hard time to perform it and the likes. And the only cure for this, the ulama they have mentioned, is that he will seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jalla sincerely. And he will leave that thing. He will leave that thing. The person who... It's a difference with somebody who forgets now and then. He forgets now and then, did he have wudu? Or he forget, did I make 2 rakat, 3 rakat? Sometimes, you know, a person becomes forgetful. But if it happens every day, or every other salat like this, or every other wudu, this is a sign that that's not forgetfulness. That this is waswasa. And the ulama, they mentioned that al-waswasa is a type of marad. It's a sickness, and it has to be cured. The only way it can be cured is by seeking refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal. And then not entertaining that. And this person is excused. For example, if he made wudu, and then but he's a person of muwaswas. And then he actually, really this time, he didn't make it right. And did I make it right? Did I make it right? And then he just left it. And this time he'll be excused because he's sick. He's sick. He's sick. I heard Sheikh Suleiman Rahidi, he mentioned this many times about the muwaswas, the one who has these whispers. That at this time, whenever he's sick, then the only thing that can remove that is by just not paying any attention whatsoever to the whispers. Not so anything whatsoever to the whispers. From the benefits of this narration, likewise, is we see that again the importance of tahara. And that both aspects of tahara, well, there's two aspects of tahara in this chapter that we're studying. What are they? In this chapter that we're studying. What are they? Huh? The two aspects of tahara in this chapter. Kitab al-Tahara. That's... In this chapter here, we discussed it yesterday.
Want to remove
the... Uh-huh.
Want to remove the covet, and then want to be purified.
Uh-huh. Well, Raf al-Hadith. One side is Raf al-Hadith. That's that. Where's that at? Yeah, this is something ma'nawi. The Raf al-Hadith. Naam, that's that thing that occurs in the body that prohibits from salat. In this hadith, there's a threat for the one who's negligent in that, sah? This hadith, what type of, there's raf al-hadith, and there's zawal al-khabith, zawal al-khabith. So this is tahara. Tahara has these two aspects. Raf al-hadith with zawal al-khabith. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he threatened them with the fire. They're because of their negligence in what aspect? Negligence in raf al-hadith. Raf al-hadith. There's another threat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a great warning that he has mentioned also with the other aspect of tahara, which is zawal al-khabith. And what am I referring to?
To remove impurity.
Uh-huh, there's a threat, there's a hadith. We just studied in the sisters class. Maybe right. The sisters know.
Right.
The hadith, yani. Huh? And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marrabi kabarain. فَقَالَ إِنُهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانُ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ بَلْ هُوَ كَبِيرٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed by two graves, and he said that verily both of them, they're being punished. And not for something major, rather it's major. And not for something major, meaning not something as major, something ulama had mentioned, and not something major, and not something as hard to refrain from, or to protect themselves from. Or not something major, meaning these people, they didn't take it major, they thought it was something light. Naam? They thought it was something light. And this is some of the understandings, or the tafsir, the ulama have mentioned about that. وَإِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَلَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ بَلْ هُوَ كِبِيرٌ. Rather it's major. Rather it's major. The one of them he used to go about with, namima. And the other one, لَمْ يَسْتَتِرْ مِنْ بَوْلِهِ. لَمْ يَكُنْ يَسْتَتِرْ مِنْ بَوْلِهِ. That he did not used to protect himself from his urine. Nam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he would say, استنزحوا من البو. And he would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ أَكْثَرْ عذاب القبر في البول. The majority of the punishment in the grave is because of the urine. And so here, that person in the grave, and also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned from that. Protect yourself and from the urine. That this is from what aspect? Zawal al-khabith. This person is being punished in the grave. A threat of the punishment in the grave for the one who was not taking his tahara seriously. And in both aspects. One, he didn't make the wudu properly, removing the hadith. The other one, he didn't protect himself from being soiled with urine. From being soiled with urine. He would go to the restroom, akramakum Allah, and then if it would splash on him or the likes like this, or he would not take precautions. A believer, he takes precaution. He would take precaution from his urine. He would take the steps that are necessary for him to not splash any urine on him. Naam? Or also, other than that, which is more filthy. Yani from the feces. And if it splashed on him, he would not just leave it. He would be aware of that. He would wash it. Naam? So the reason why that person, he's punished in the grave, because he didn't take this, he took it lightly. He took this issue lightly. So the issue of tahara, and there's a threat with both aspects. There's a threat with both aspects. We understand that. With the aspect of raf al-hadith, there's a threat where? And right here in this hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, وَيْلُ لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. And the threat also in the zawal al-khabith is, and the hadith Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that they pass by the khabr. And also in other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that the majority of the people who are punished in the grave, it's because of urine. And he didn't, because this, if the one who doesn't protect himself from his urine, then what is he going to do when it's time for prayer? He's spilling it all over him, sweating his clothes. This is already filth and a lowly manner and conduct. And then after that, he's going to stand and pray with those clothing on and face his Lord who created him, Most High, Subhanah. This is not befitting. His prayer would not be accepted. So again, also indicating the virtue and the greatness of the prayer, the greatness of the prayer. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.